the word, right?
Oh, that's right.
I like to keep you guessing. Thank you for choosing to be here today in this spiritual community. We're continuing our monthly theme about love, how we experience it and understand it. And I'm going to make you move. So I'm going to ask you really nicely to make sure you're sitting close enough to somebody that you can, like, touch them. Because eventually we're going to get to that part of the service. So make sure you're sitting close enough to somebody, I don't care who. Because eventually we're going to get to that, okay? And I don't care, you know, if it's like touching shoulders or something, but really, just like get to where you can be within arm's reach of somebody without stretching and straining too much. I know it's awkward because we like our space and stuff, but so typically in February we start the service with Daniel Namod's Love is My Decision. And when I was working on the talk yesterday, I realized that I needed that song in today's talk. So Philip and David are going to help us by singing. Well, they're not going to sing. We're going to sing. I'm going to put the microphone down. And we're going to sing Daniel Namod's Love is My Decision as part of the talk, because it's a setup for what comes next, okay? Philip, if you would please. You know this one. Don't pretend like you don't.
Love is my decision. It's up to me to give of my heart. Love is my decision. No one else can tell me to start. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision. My decision, right here and now. Love is my decision. It's up to me to stand on that bridge. Love is my decision. No one else can make me forgive. Once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision. My decision, right here and now. Love is my decision. It's up to me to dance down that road. Love is my decision. No one else can lighten my load. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision. My decision, right here and now.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, it came out.
Thank you, Philip. Do you have any idea how renegade that idea is? Love is my decision. I'm driving a rental car because mine's in the shop for probably 3 more weeks. That's the result of being sideswiped last week. And so I'm listening to the radio, which is something I haven't done since the last time I had a rental car. And listening to the radio, do you know how much cultural conditioning and collective consciousness says you can't love because somebody has to love you first? You're not allowed to generate that most powerful energy yourself. You're not allowed. Like, you're not capable. Well, that's nonsense, right? Love is my decision. We decide. We set our mind and we fix our attention on being love in the world. Do you have any idea how much that changes the spin of the earth? Because we are causing something to happen rather than just passively receiving whatever happens to come our way. Are you scared? Hopefully not. Because we have, I've been trying to think how to say this ever since I left my house and got stopped in a really long line at Starbucks. How do we own our ability to decide to be love in a world that doesn't want us to? Because really, the bias is you take what you get. You do what you're told. It's like, sorry, I'm enough of an independent so-and-so that I'm going to decide. Am I by myself or do I have company? I hope I have company. So today, I'm going to talk about the elements of love. And I'm going to talk about the elements of love from this point of view that this is something we generate. It's something we choose. It's something we operate from rather than something we get, you know, and then kind of give back a little bit once we get it. Because love is our decision when we decide to decide it. So I want to start with the other quote that I had pulled for today, which I actually used last night from Dr. Holmes from Science of Mind, page 478, paragraphs 3-5. Holmes describes love as the central flame of the universe, the very fire itself. He calls it self-givingness through creation, the impartation of the divine through the human. He writes, or wrote, "The essence of love fires the heart, stimulates the emotions, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit." And in 10 Ideas That Make a Difference, he wrote, "We must live each day as though God were guiding us, having a firm conviction that we are counseled by divine wisdom and protected by infinite love. We sense this presence and have implicit confidence in its direction. No matter what the doubts and fears of yesterday were, the affirmations of today can rise triumphant over them if we persist in seeing beauty and love will appear." If we insist. If we don't insist, it doesn't. If we insist, it does. So all this introductory blah, blah, blah is background for digging into Thich Nhat Hanh's little book called How to Love. And in that little volume, he has four elements of love. All of them are self-generated. This is something we give, not something we get. They are loving kindness, joy, compassion, and equanimity. Do you typically think of those things as something that are self-generated? Kinda, sometimes. Joy, loving kindness, yeah, we've had enough practice with the loving kindness meditation to recognize that I do that, and then I see that experience in other people. The part that was interesting when I was rereading this little book yesterday was, he says, if you do not love yourself first, you have an empty bucket and you can't love anybody else. So once again, we're contrary to cultural conditioning that says, oh, well, how dare you love yourself? Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of the divine, thank you very much. I recognize my oneness in that. And from that space of oneness, then I have something in my bucket to give. And so every single one of these qualities, loving kindness, joy, compassion, and equanimity, we have to fill our own buckets first before we have anything to give away. And check your bucket. See how, are you full to overflowing? Are you a little deficient and you need to fill up? I was a little deficient yesterday. Like, okay, well, this is good data. I'm glad to know that. Because I can do something about it once I see it, once I recognize it, once I, oh, yeah, I have been running a little hard, right? So I can stop and regenerate my own filling. And because I'm no different than you, you can do it too. So let's look at these four elements independently. First, how many of you have done the one or more of the loving kindness meditation styles? Just so I know. Oh, good, about half. And when I was looking at this one yesterday, I actually found like 8 different versions. So if the one that I mentioned next is not the one that you did, it's okay. But it starts with, may I be peaceful, loving, kind, caring, and so on. May I feel safe. May I feel at ease. May I feel. And you're not supposed to move from that position until you actually do feel what it feels like to be love. And only then do you move to, may you be happy, may you be peaceful, may you be caring, may you be loving. Do you see what a big thing this is? Because we are filling our own capacity up before we do anything else. And then you move to the, you know, the people you love, and it's easy to say that, right? Well, my people that I love, may you be loving, may you be safe, may you be. And then you move to people that you're kind of neutral about. And it's still not hard. Right? And then you get to the real jolly part, to those people that you don't like at all, or you maybe even like would detest if you allowed yourself to detest anybody. May you be happy, may you be peaceful, may you feel safe. If we did this practice and we actually did it to the point where we actually had that experience, that awareness that we can embody love, joy, safety, peace, for all of our universe, would our universe change? Would it have any choice? No, it would not. This number of people, if we were able to go out into the world and be that, we could transform Tucson, period, full stop. Because it doesn't take much. The trained consciousness, the trained mind has a lot more power because we're focused. And we have the ability to say, no, I'm sorry, this is what we're doing now. And all of that staticky random stuff, no, you're not in charge here. We are being love. We are being kind. I realize this sounds really simple, and it's a lot more complicated to actually like do it consistently. But that's the challenge of it, right? For each of us to stay in that spot of living as love and practicing that loving kindness spot. And to me, the most gnarly bit is that first step. Do I really believe, do I really embody that it's okay, in fact, desirable for me to feel loved, for me to feel safe, for me to feel, think about it, what's true for you? Do you completely buy that? Where you are, permission's the wrong word, but I'll use it for now because I don't have anything better, where you have permission to feel like you're enough, where you have permission to feel like you are more than adequate to meet the needs of your life and not require to have somebody else hold you up. What's cool about that is once we get to that place where we can stand in that, then support is drawn to us like moths to a flame. We're not deficient. We're actually overflowing. And it is that experience of being attractive because we're so full of the love and the good and the joy that we are. And how do we do this? Love is a decision. You sang that. Most of you could hum it now, right? Love is my decision. I choose to be love in the world. Thich Nhat Hanh, in his little book, Loving Kindness, Compassion, Joy, and Equanimity, are described as unlimited states of mind because they continue to grow with practice and cannot be measured. The more you practice, the more you see your love growing and growing, and there is no limit. The more you practice compassion, the more it grows. The more you cultivate joy, the more joy you will feel and be able to share. The more you understand, the more you love. The more you love, the more you understand. These are two sides of one reality. The mind of love and the mind of understanding are the same. So in Foundations class and Essential Earnest class, both, we talk about words. Because words are such tricky beasts. They mean different things for everybody. So we've got this word understanding. What does it mean to actually understand? I mean, I can understand a wiring diagram. I can understand how to change a light bulb. I can understand. Is that the kind of understanding I'm talking about? No. What does it take to understand yourself? And what does it take to understand another? What does it take to understand the person sitting next to you? Mindful listening is the first thing that comes to mind. How do we understand the people in our lives, the beings in our lives? Some are easier than others. And the story around compassion is the same as a story around loving kindness. Can we be compassionate to ourselves? Thich Nhat Hanh's method is mindfulness. We would probably call it paying attention and digging in and doing our own work on ourselves, looking at our history and seeing it with new eyes, looking at our historical points of view, the way we were raised, and realizing we didn't know any better at the time, and that's okay. Seeing ourselves and our relationship with the world, with ourselves, with our world, with our lives, and seeing it through compassionate eyes changes that experience. So now, joy. Do you know what brings you joy? Do you know how to generate the experience of joy for yourself? How do you nurture that sense of delight and appreciation? It's going to vary, right? From day to day and moment to moment and caffeinated level to caffeinated level. It's going to vary. But when I was driving in and caught at a red light, I'm looking at the mountains going, I am so lucky to live here because this is such a magnificently beautiful place to my eyes. I was talking to a woman yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was the day before, who was going, it's not green enough for me. It's not, if you need green, like real green. But if you're okay with gray-green, it's fabulous, right? So, do you know how you see your life, your world with delight and appreciation? And then this feeling that we have of feeling joyful, that's a result. That's not a cause. That's a result. That's in the world of form. In the science of mind teaching, there are causes that are always invisible. They're always in the world of ideas. And there are effects that are in the world of form. This is a really difficult idea. Makes everyone completely crazy for a while. Because we're so used to, they made me mad. Well, no, they didn't. It was an idea you had about a story you had, about a story you told yourself about somebody who treated you that way. It's the idea to see joy that creates the effect or the experience or the feeling of joy. And then the fourth way we are encouraged to love is with equanimity, which is by being accepting and inclusive no matter what. Not finding fault or judging what we or others do or don't do to meet our expectations or not. So don't hear me say you're supposed to tolerate all kinds of disabuse, because you're not. That wouldn't be loving yourself. But can we remember that balance of, I love myself, I take care of myself, I make sure I am whole, and make space for other people to have their own experiences and see them with the eyes of love? This is a tall order. Which is why it's so much easier to just go along with, country songs on my radio in the car, where he done me wrong and therefore it's my, I get to be upset. No. Sorry. We get to be in charge of ourselves. And we get to make sure that we are porous enough to allow interaction with others, but not to take any crap. No crap. This is hard. This is really hard because it means we have to pay attention. Okay, one more quick thing before we get to today's practice, which is why you're sitting next to each other. Thich Nhat Hanh wrote about four different ways we can nourish and feed our love. And these were interesting to me, which is why I'm going to say them. One, there's edible food, which is the food we put into our bodies and the stories we tell ourselves about that food. Once upon a time, I knew a Tai Chi master. He was really awesome. And since he recognized all food was just carbon and nitrogen and oxygen, you know, and micronutrients and stuff, he was able to get complete nutrition out of an entire box of Cocoa Pebbles every day. Because he wasn't distracted by the fact that this was a sugary cereal and it was supposed to be bad for him. For him, it was food. It was carbon and nitrogen and oxygen. It's the stories we tell about our food that make it good for us or not good for us. When you want to wrinkle your nose that somebody brought something you don't like, consider that story. Now, I'll be the first to say I got stories about food, too. But be aware that you're doing it. It's not the food. It's the stories we tell ourselves about the food. Second, there's sensory food, which are things we consume with our eyes and ears and nose and tongue and body and mind. Thich Nhat Hanh includes paper and electronic reading material, television, movies, video games, as well as any sort of mind-numbing or distracting activities that fit in this category. Yeah, right, okay. Busted, right? And he encourages us to be present, to lift our eyes up from the screens and notice our world. Notice the faces, notice the smiles, notice the happy puppy dogs. Notice life as it exists on an interpersonal level rather than through some electronic medium that most of us are tethered to really well. That's sensory food, and we get to decide how we engage with it. Then the next category he has is aspirational food, which is how we choose to show up in the world, what we do with our time and energy, as well as what we create and manifest. So we get to choose how we decide to be in the world, and that feeds our love. This is really hard, because it makes us be responsible for ourselves. And then the fourth kind of food is the state of our consciousness and how much of our attention we use intentionally, which is to say, in a way that's not the language of science of mind, do I go along with the common hour thinking, or do I actually decide how I want to be? Each of these kinds of food feeds our own personal experience of love, because these are our inputs. In that thing about consciousness, the quote that I pulled, we absorb and reflect what is around us. That's ugly. If we live in a harsh place, it is easier for us to be harsh. If we live in a supportive place, we feel it, and it's easier for us to live in a supportive manner. So this is like graduate school, right? Because this is intentional living. That's what I'm talking about, is living intentionally and being how we choose to be on purpose. So now let's get to today's practice. It has two parts. Shut your eyes if you're comfortable doing so. Put your hands on your heart if it helps you focus. In your mind's eye, imagine some quality of self-love that you would like to have a greater experience of. It might be kindness or joy. It might be peacefulness or quiet or calmness or self-care. It might be, if you can manage self-discipline without making yourself wrong doing it, it could be that. Self-intention. Imagine what quality of self-love you would like to have more of in your life. Get a good picture of it. Distill it down to a word or an image. Pretend like you have a Sharpie in your hand and draw that image or write that word on your arm so you'll see it. Because I want you to remember this commitment that you're making to yourself to love yourself more fully. Now, since it's an imaginary word, you can change it before you get home and look in the mirror. But imagine writing this or drawing this image on your arm or your shoulder, where you can recall it and remind yourself of what it would mean to be more self-loving. Okay, now the second part. Make yourself a note if you need to so you can remember, or take your pen and write it on your hand so you can remember this idea of what it would mean to be more self-loving. And now the second part. I ask you to sit close enough to somebody to touch them. You don't actually have to hold hands. You can touch elbows. If holding hands is too, like, intimate or something, you can touch elbows or shoulders or... But make physical contact with somebody. And if that's too much, you can decline. I mean, you don't have to do nothing. But if it's too much to actually make physical contact with somebody, don't. Give yourself permission to say, I don't think so, thank you. And if you notice you want to squeeze their hand or pat their hand, that's nervous energy. Stop it. Just touch. Just pay attention. Just be present. Just notice. And if you feel energy moving between you and the other person, cool. And if you don't, it doesn't matter. It's not critical. But you're practicing being present with another person. And it doesn't matter whether you know them or not. It doesn't matter if you spent hundreds and hundreds of hours or just the last 24 minutes sitting next to them. The practice is being present with another being and being as best you can as a loving presence with them. Okay? So if you find yourself like screaming and running, wanting to run, just notice that. Breathe. Breathe as deeply as you can manage, as slowly as you can manage. Build that feeling of love within yourself. And imagine being that presence of love. Okay? Now, recognize you and your neighbor are both vibrantly alive in this moment. Hold that image in your mind. Does it change your experience? Keep breathing. Notice what it's like for you to have that feeling of connection with another being. And this idea, this sense of presence, and this sense of vibrant, vital aliveness. Feel what it feels like in your body. That's an effect. The cause is your thought that is generated within you. So now, with your next in and out breath, notice if you feel grateful for this other being and their vital, vibrant, precious aliveness. Work on that idea. Work on that feeling of, because it's self-generated, right? You can connect with yourself and with your neighbor. And with people you're not even touching, and feel that groundedness and that stability and that warmth and that sense of oneness, that sense of there is only one of us in this room. There's only one of us on this planet. And we have that capability to sit and stand and move and be in that space of loving awareness, no matter what. And it's ours to decide and choose. So notice how you feel. Notice how you feel emotionally. Notice how you feel physically. Notice if the worry lines in your forehead have lessened. Notice if your blood pressure has dropped or risen. Notice what your experience is of connecting with yourself or with another. That's what being love looks like, feels like, sounds like, acts like. Notice whether a small smile has shown up on your face. And recognize that this was a decision you made. And bless yourself for participating. So now very gently take another breath and disengage from your neighbor. It feels weird to do that, right? Because you've been so entwined with them in a good way. You've been so connected with them in a good way. And so you're no longer physically touching them, but you are still connected. And everyone in this room is connected to every other person in this room because there is only one of us here. And that one of us is all of us. So anytime we decide to be present with another, that's a decision we make. Anytime we decide to see the beloved in everyone or anyone, it's a gift we give ourselves, and it's a gift we give that person or being we're speaking with. It's what love looks like. So I want you to remember these experiences. I want you to remember the giving to yourself of your own love and what it felt like to share that experience with another. And I want to close with a poem from a new poet for me by the name of Rupi Kaur. It was when I stopped searching for home within others and lifted the foundations of home within myself, I found there were no roots more intimate than those between a mind and body that decided to be whole. Each of us is whole. Each of us can remember that and practice it. The more we do that, the more we actually remember our ability to be love in the world, the greater the experience of love for all becomes. Do this as much as you dare. Bless yourself and bless us all. Thank you. So now it's time for our community affirmative prayer. So I'm going to ask you to hold those images of love in your mind. Hold that feeling of love in your mind. And we only pray affirmatively around here, which is claiming the good we desire. Claim and allow, accept and receive that good while I say the words. Infinite radiant life, divine love, that wholeness and allness and oneness that lives as me and as everyone, that lives as this beloved planet and every single star, visible and invisible, every single atom, biggest to smallest, smallest to biggest, all things, all beings, are powered by love. So I stand in this moment and remember that truth. And I remember that when I remember and enact that, then I have a greater experience of love in my life. And that decision to love, that decision to be love and see love, is mine to make. And as it is mine, it is the same for every other individual. Each one has that option, has that choice, has that power. And when I forget, when I fall off the wagon, I get to get back up again. And I get to re-engage in the life of my choosing. This human experience has so many opportunities. That's one of the things that makes this life so magnificent. So I celebrate this life. I celebrate this opportunity. I celebrate this amazing chance to be. And I feel it fill me up to overflowing. And I splash good all around. And I recognize that as the divine essence, as me and as everyone. In great joy and delight, I relax, allow, and let it be. And so it is.
So it is. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me know that love is all around me.
Let me know that love is all around me.
Oh, let my steps reveal a path of peace.
Let my steps reveal a path of peace.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.
Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way.
Let me love in a holy, holy way.